Sometimes, the best parts of festivals are the discussions that surround them, reflections on what we did and heard, anticipation of what's to come, and processing what it all means in relation to our spiritual work. We wanted to help either introduce you to that phenomenon or extend it for you. That's what this is about. I'm Reverend Jana Vende.
And I'm Reverend Michael J. Dankler. We're priests of Arnriach Fane and members of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. We're recording these sessions actually live in cars, actually going to festivals and events, so you will hear road noise, turn signals, and navigation prompts, but that's part of what makes it fun.
So, sit back and enjoy Druids
in cars
going to festivals.
One of our first conversations on the way out to the 2018 ADF Trillium Gathering was about how do we do our daily devotionals. We talk a bit about patronage, how we navigate our family lives and the complications they bring, and how our devotional lives have changed over time. We eventually start discussing how our kids have started to factor in heavily, including how they identify key symbols, like our grove's regular gatekeeper, Garnus, the crane who is the key spirit ally of Three Cranes Grove, ADF. So come take this journey with us, and listen in as we head toward one of the classic ADF festivals.
So when you do devotionals, what does it kind of look like?
Kind of my basic practice. It shifts depending on what is going on in my life a lot of times. But the really basic thing I do is I walk up to my altar and I light a match. I always use matches, not lighters.
Same here.
It just feels better that way. I don't know. It also lets me save the matchsticks and see kind of how it's very satisfying to see a full container of used matches.
Yep, I agree with that fully.
But I strike a match and I light my Hestia candle, and I say, Hestia, you who burn bright on my hearth, now burn bright in my heart. And then I honor the kindreds. I don't open the gates normally in my devotional practice. I don't feel the need to. And I very simply honor the kindreds with to the ancestors who went before, to the nature spirits all around us, to the shining ones who share their wisdom and love. Be welcome here today as I honor you and make an offering. And then a lot of times that's all that I do. And I will just thank Hestia after that. And then depending on what I'm doing or how I'm feeling, I'll honor, my patron, Poseidon, during that. When I'm not feeling lazy, I will take an omen, to kind of guide my day or my week or whatever, or if I have specific questions, or concerns that I'm trying to seek some guidance on. But my basic devotional is just, it's really short and simple where I can fit it in around, you know, getting the kids breakfast and trying to navigate the chaos of the morning.
I mean, my devotional schedule is entirely inconsistent these days. There was a time when I did, like clockwork, literally, I did dawn and sunset devotionals, and it's not clockwork anymore for me, mostly because, you know, dawn and night are gods of order, and my life right now is not really a life of order, mostly because I have small kids, and I think that's okay. There's not a problem with that. I've been through a phase of my life where it was all regimented very strictly by dawn and sunset, so I would get up in the morning and I would pray to Ushas, the Vedic goddess of dawn, and then at night I would pray to Ratri, her twin sister, the Vedic goddess of night. And it was very nice to do that and to kind of get into that. But typically now, well, I still do that sometimes and probably more often than not. What I typically do these days is, I'll approach the altar when I have need, and I will speak. And that need doesn't necessarily need to be, hey, I need a thing. Sometimes that need is, hey, I need to center myself. And so I may not be asking anything of the deities or of the spirits. I might instead be asking something of myself, trying to center myself, trying to come to a place in my own being where I am not all over the place.
I would definitely agree with that. There are a lot of times right now where even as simple as that basic devotional is, that's too much words for me. And
yeah.
There's a lot of times, especially recently, where I just haven't been feeling the devotionals. And so when I do something at all, it's fairly inconsistent, but it's me approaching my altar, lighting some incense, and allowing it to burn down as I light a candle. And there's not necessarily any words that go with it, because I don't have the words, but I feel that need to experience some connection.
And to do that physical action to help you connect, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's hard when your life feels kind of in
flux.
In upheaval, in flux, and like you don't have time, even though realistically that basic devotional takes like a minute, 2 minutes tops. But when you feel like you just don't have the time, when you can definitely say you have those 2 minutes, sometimes all you can do is light a candle and a stick of incense.
Yeah.
And that's what mine looks like a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that piety is a big production. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. I think that big production piety is all well and good, but most of the time, piety is understated. It is something that is deeply personal, something that is that fits into your life. You don't plan your life around piety. You plan piety around your life. You know, I say that as someone who has done dawn and sunset devotionals and planned my life around that piety. And it was a great exercise, but it's not the way that I want to live my entire life.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely true, especially if you're trying to build a habit. Because, like, I definitely, since my son was born, my life kind of went into this upheaval, and all the habits I had fell away. And so now I'm in this place where things are starting to get more regulated again, and I find that I don't have the habits that I used to, so I don't have those touchstones that remind me, oh, this is when you would do that devotional. And so I'm having to kind of relearn my own life in order to relearn where my devotionals fit and what works for me.
Yeah. I think, too, that the interesting thing about not letting your habits always be the same is that when you do fall out of them, you get to rebuild them from the ground up. And that has its own perks. I mean, these days, it's not uncommon for my kids to come in and say, can we pray? And by that they mean, can we light a candle? Can we do the work that we see you doing? And it's been interesting to sort of rebuild some of those habits with them, and partially even with their guidance.
Yeah, my that basic devotional that I recited is... that came out of the experience of my daughter wanting to do these devotions with me. And so she didn't have the attention span for me to stand at my altar and do this extended like praise offering or anything. And so it built out of, we have hand motions, so the ancestors, our hands are down, the nature spirits, our hands are out to the side, the gods, our hands are kind of up in the air. And so even though she doesn't quite have the words memorized, although she surprises me sometimes when she very clearly does have them memorized.
I get that too. Like, is they're just like, right on it. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know that one. Excellent.
But it gives her a way to kind of interact with me in that, which, again, presents its own challenges because in a lot of ways where my devotions used to be very personal, it's almost like they're not mine anymore. Because I'm basically the head of the religious household in my family. And so a lot of the devotions that I do now tend to be, I don't want to say me leading my family in that kind of devotion, but I'm definitely the touchstone. And if there's other family members around me, they partake of those devotions while I am doing them.
Yeah. Yep. I think that one of the other interesting things that happens, especially when you're dealing with kids, is sometimes they take off from what we're doing and sort of form their own ideas and you know, one of the things that my twin kids do is they'll hold a rock. That's the thing they like to do. They like to hold onto a rock while we pray, and they love to blow out the candles. So between those two things, you know, they've kind of developed their own, they've created their own part to the devotional where we start, they grab their rock, or a rock, depending on whether or not they remember which one they grabbed last time. So far, no fights over that. That's been good. And then, at the end of it, they get to blow out the candles.
Yeah, my daughter knows that she gets to make the offering. I have a little canister of steel-cut oats and a little itty-bitty offering bowl. And so she knows that when we are getting ready to speak to the kindreds, she gets to take a handful of the steel-cut oats, and she has to hang on to them the whole time that I'm saying those words. And then when we're done, she can put it in there and say, "Yay, kindreds." That's our phrase for welcome, kindreds, or we honor you, or whatever, is yay, kindreds.
It's a good phrase for kids.
It is a good phrase for kids. And it's interesting, I've kind of brought her into some of the other stuff we do. We've got questions that we ask Grove members during our Druid Moon Rites, and she knows all the answers to those. Because we do them in our devotions a lot of times. So she knows those kinds of things, which is, it still surprises me sometimes that she's picked up on them and remembered them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the kids identify cranes with Garnus.
They do. And whether that's a bird crane or a construction crane, it doesn't seem to matter. They are all Garnus.
Yeah. I don't think that my kids have made that particular connection.
Oh, mine totally has.
Yes. It's all right.
We'll be driving down the highway and she'll be like, "Look, Mommy, a Garnus." "That's a construction crane. You're right."
It's hard to dissuade them of those notions.
I know, and it's kind of too cute to try to.
It is. And when she starts lighting candles at the base of the construction crane, that might...
Then we might have a problem.
Yeah, that might draw on a raised eyebrow or two from a construction worker.
But, yeah, I also have found that, and I don't know if this kind of mixes with my priestly vocation, but I find when my devotions start slacking off, I end up being more driven to do public work in service for others. So, like, if my devotions fall off, right now I'm in kind of this lull where I'm not quite feeling devotions. They're not very regular, but I've been feeling this push to pick back up doing community full moon rites, which I used to do a lot more often.
Yep.
And so I don't know if that is, if it's the external act that then turns back into the internal devotion, if that's the thing, or if it's simply, if I'm committing to doing these full moon rituals, that's keeping me accountable, which then reinvigorates that practice. So I'm not sure where it falls in that, but yeah.
Yeah. I think that the key thing really is that devotional practice is something that's unique to everybody, and it's unique to combinations of people too. So if you have multiple people in your household, they're going to interact with your devotions in unique ways, and it's going to affect the shape of your devotion, I tend to think, whether or not it's, you know, kids in our case, or it might be a spouse who is irreligious or non-religious, or of a different religion. That might also impact how you do your devotions.
Yeah.
Hopefully they support you all the way.
It's funny. I don't have a personal altar anymore because it's our family altar. It's in my kitchen.
Yeah, it's kind of the same way with me. I don't...
Yeah, but it's...
We just do work on one altar these days.
Yeah, it's really interesting because sometimes, like, I'm still very used to having, like, my own personal altar. And sometimes I'll come home or I'll walk into the room and there'll be a candle lit and a stick of incense burning. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I guess my husband felt the need to light a thing.
Yeah.
Like, and so it still kind of catches me off guard sometimes, but it also... It makes me feel good that, you know, that it's not just me participating in this,
yeah,
in this thing, and that it is a family venture.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. So, I suppose that keeping it up and doing the work is rewarding, isn't it?
It is rewarding. It is very rewarding.
Thanks for listening, and there's more to come.
We welcome your ideas and questions. If there's something that you'd like to hear us discuss in a future episode, please drop us a line at druidsincars@threecranes.org.
If you would like to donate, you can do so at threecranes.org/donate.
Druids in Cars Going to Festivals is a production of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. Learn more about our grove at threecranes.org and more about Druidry at ADF.org.
As always, keep circulating the tapes and let us pray with a good